Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Retail Property Fund Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Glenn Willis, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome to the results presentation call for the Elanor Retail Property Fund, and thank you for your interest in the fund. On the call today, I have Michael Balliver, Co-Head of Real Estate for Elanor Investors Group and Fund Manager for the Retail Property Fund, Matt Healy, Head of Retail Development and Mixed Use for Elanor Investors Group, and Paul Sivia, Chief Operating Officer of Elanor Investors Group. And today we're referring to the results presentation pack that was released to the ASX this morning, and we look forward to fielding questions at the end of this call. Before I hand over to Michael, I'd just like to open by saying that we are pleased with the progress that's been achieved on the fund over the financial year 21, both in terms of the performance of the fund's income assets and more importantly, probably the progress in the value add strategies for the fund's value add assets. We are acutely focused also on the growing security holder value and having security holder value reflect the growing value and NTA of the fund. I'll hand it over to Michael now to provide details of the progress of the strategy for the fund over the course of financial year 21.
Thanks, Glenn, and thank you all for your time today. Pleased to confirm the core earnings for the year at $11.7 million, reflecting earnings per security of 9.14 cents, delivering distributions per security of 8.67 cents, and then in addition to that, a special distribution following the sale of Auburn Central in December 2020 of 12 cents per security, providing security holders with total distributions for the year of 20.67 cents. Also pleasingly is the performance of the assets despite challenging conditions. We've seen strong collections and supermarket sales, which is our bellwether in terms of our leading indicator of the performance of the assets. And it's clear to say that other than Tweed, which has had some specific issues in relation to border closure, the portfolio has held up very well and continues to perform well on both counts and both rental collections and also anchor sales performance. After the 12 cent distribution, NTA is $1.22 per security, and that reflects valuations of a weighted average cap rate of 7.32%. It's fair to say that the market for neighbourhood and convenience-based sub-regional assets continues to improve, particularly over the last 6 months, and we see that continuing based on some recent transactions. So that, I think, presents good opportunities for us to continue to deliver shareholder value given our positioning, the positioning of the portfolio. Gearing at 30 June was 21.1%. Well within or substantially below our target range of 30 to 40%, and following this morning's announcement of the unconditional sale of Moranbah Fair, the gearing ratio of the fund will reduce to 10.5%, providing the fund balance sheet capacity for further investment in value-add retail assets. Just turning you to page 5 of the presentation, just reflecting on collections for the year, obviously continuing on with collection in the first half. The Tweed asset I'll call out a little bit though, on the basis that the its sales, supermarket sales are down 7%, and that's a result of border closure. But as we've tried to demonstrate on the graph at the bottom of the page, a very resilient asset once trading normalises and the border situation resolves itself. All the other assets have, as I mentioned earlier, performed very, very well in relation to the supermarket sales and in particular, strong recovery from the DDS assets as well, DDS retailers as well. Just turning to page 7 of the presentation, we continue to execute on our market-leading positioning and capability to reposition value-add assets, particularly our focus on repositioning sub-regionals to neighbourhood centres. And as a result of an opportunity at Manning Mall, we've now reclassified Manning Mall to a value-add asset. And both Tweed Mall and Manning Mall represent excellent opportunities for us to continue to reposition those assets and add further value for security holders. Just turning to page 8, as I mentioned earlier, the sale of Moranbah Fair was confirmed this morning. That asset's repositioning and value, we believe, has been optimised during this year. We've replaced the expiring target, which expired at 30 June, with a reject shop. We've taken occupancy to almost 100%, it was about 97.5%, with some further leasing momentum as well. And the coal sales had reached $55 million. It only grew 1.6% for this year. So the percentage rent growth and the MHE growth for the asset was plateauing, and as a result, we deemed it an appropriate time to dispose of the asset this year, in line with the divestment strategy for the assets, the income assets selected in the portfolio. That sale, in addition to the Auburn Central sale, will provide the fund with balance sheet capacity for further investment in the repositioning of both Tweed Mall and Manning Mall, as well as seeking additional investment opportunities in value-add retail assets and or look to implement further shareholder capital management initiatives going forward, similar to the capital distribution that the special distribution that we're making in this financial year. Just turning to page 9 now, the repositioning of Manning Mall. We've spoken previously about Tweed Mall. The repositioning of Manning Mall and reclassification of that asset to a value-add asset is on the basis that we are progressing with the opportunity to transform that asset from a sub-regional asset with a discount department store to a single supermarket asset, and replacing the DDS with some non-discretionary focused mini majors, and we believe that can be done ahead of the lease expiry of the current discount department store. In addition to that, we continue to progress with the other opportunities in the income assets, including Gladstone Square, where we've just introduced a new chemist warehouse, and Woolworths sales continue to grow strongly, up 8.9% this year. The Northway Plaza asset, the lease for the supermarket, has just been extended by 5 years following exercise of option, and we'll continue to execute on the value-add pad site opportunity there. And our Glenorchy asset continues to perform well. The occupancy remains strong, and the discount department store sales continues to outperform, and we believe that will continue to outperform to the extent that it'll reach a turnover above the percentage rent threshold following the closure of a competing discount department store. And as a result, each of those assets represent good income assets with further value enhancement opportunities as well. And we'll look to recycle those assets similarly to Moranbah Fair when we believe that value for security holders has been optimised. I'll turn to page 11 now. Just confirming the value add progress that we've made over the year and concluding, I guess, on the Auburn Central sale and I guess using that as a bit of a case study as to how we're proposing to reposition the other value add assets in the portfolio, whereby we're seeking to transform sub-regional assets into supermarket-based neighbourhood centres, given the strong demand for the resilience of that style of asset in the current market. And on the basis that, if we turn to page 12, and the Auburn case study, looking to increase income, occupancy, WALE, and the sales performance that is able to be generated by the asset. Each of those criteria are the criteria that we seek to execute following repositioning of the assets and obviously position them for further shareholder value. We continue to progress on our master planning and our mixed-use opportunity at Tweed Mall. And we look forward to commencing and making further announcements in that regard shortly. And similarly with Manning Mall, we look to progress the opportunity to reposition the discount department store into those non-discretionary mini-major uses, again, in line with our strategy for other repositioning of sub-regional assets into neighbourhood centres. Just turning to page 16, just 2 points to make in this regard. We've extended the WALE of the portfolio as a result to lease extensions, being the IGA lease at Northway Plaza and also the Coles lease at Tweed Mall. And that's assisted in extending the lease expiry profile of the fund, as shown on page 18. The 9% vacancy holdover in that graph is the target at Tweed Mall, which continues to hold over and provides us with flexibility to execute the strategy. Similarly, the FY24 expiry is the discount department store at Manning Mall. So both of those provide us with the optionality that we are looking for in our ability to convert those assets to more non-discretionary uses. And just turning to page 19, as we mentioned earlier, we'll continue to divest of the income assets, similar to Moranbah Fair when we believe the opportunity is right and it makes the most sense to ensure that we are maximising security holder value. On that note, I'm happy to hand over to Paul just to run through the financial results for the financial year.
Thank you, Michael. Could I encourage participants on the call to turn to page 21 of the investor presentation released to the ASX earlier today. This highlights that the core earnings or funds from operations, the distributable earnings of the fund, were $11.67 million for FY21. That reflected 9.14 cents of earnings per security, and in respect of that earnings, 8.67 cents has been distributed, or that distribution is to be paid in respect of the second half. Investors have also enjoyed a 12 cent distribution, and that's following the sale of Auburn, and as Michael mentioned, it reflects capital management initiatives. The earnings for FY21 did include $1.4 million from the sale of the Auburn Ambulance Station. That was a separate property adjacent to the Auburn Central Shopping Centre that was acquired to assist with the repositioning of Auburn Central. It added strategic value to that sale, and we've also generated a return on that separate investment. The results for FY21 do have an element of impact, adverse impact from the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's estimated at $500,000. That includes a provision as at 30th of June 21 that is not specifically allocated to any debts owing as at the end of the year, and therefore provides some flexibility for the situation as we move into FY22. Can I turn briefly to page 22 of the presentation, which sets out the fund's balance sheet and shows net assets at 30 June 21 of $156.3 million. That reflects a net tangible asset value per security of $1.22. Importantly, that figure is struck after the provision for both the distribution of earnings for the period to 30 June 21, and also the special distribution of 12 cents. The interest-bearing debt of the group as at 30 June 21 is $66 million, but on a net debt basis after reducing that amount for cash is 48%, and that reflects a gearing ratio of 21%. As Michael pointed out in respect of the sale of Moranbah, which was announced today, that asset was sold for $28 million at book value. That will enable the group to further reduce its debt and its gearing ratio to approximately 10.5%. Turning briefly to page 23, it sets out the debt and capital management metrics for the group. Perhaps just 2 points to note. The weighted average term to maturity of the fund's debt is 2.9 years. And currently the debt is 63% hedged. That's been managed from a treasury management point of view with a view to our expectation of being able to reduce debt in the short term following the sale of assets, most particularly Moranbah. So we'll take the opportunity to reduce reduce the unhedged portion, giving the fund 100% hedging cover in respect of the balance of the debt. I'll now hand back to Glenn for some concluding remarks.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks, Michael. As we state here, we believe the fund is in a strong position and well positioned to enhance value for security holders. We're acutely aware that the fund is a very modest size fund. Having said that, Michael and team have done a very good job in progressing the value-add strategies at the value-add assets and also the divestment program for the income assets. Michael and Matt and team have a very strong track record of generating returns, or track record generating strong returns in value-add real estate, retail real estate, as evidenced by the return achieved upon the divestment of the Auburn Central asset. Was that they've achieved an IRR in the order of 27% for the holding peer return of that asset. And indeed, not just in that asset, but other value-add retail real estate assets across the group, the team has performed very strongly and the average realised rate of return across all realised all retail value add assets is in the order of 25%, a very strong return. So we look forward to the team continuing to execute on the value add strategy for the fund's value add assets, and also continuing to optimise the income assets in line with the divestment program for those assets. And finally, we are acutely aware of the security price not being reflective of the value of trust. As you stated, the NTA of 122 is not reflected in security price, and we continue to focus on capital management options to have that security price reflect the NTA of the fund. At this juncture, we look forward to now handing it over for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ed Day of MA Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Michael, just one from me on Tweed Mall. Just wondering if you could drill into an update on the repositioning. I note on slide 13 you've got the two options, but what's the next step in the process there?
Next step in the process, Ed, is to secure approvals to progress with the relocation of one of the supermarkets into the DDS box and unlock the mixed use opportunity on that remaining location, if not backfill it. So.
And then at which point do you work to decide on option 1 or 2?
Look, option 1 is our preference. We're progressing with the and continue to have dialogue with the Commonwealth Government agency that has expressed interest. But the discussions are not going as quickly as we would like. But I think that would suit us. We think we can provide a more efficient solution for us and a better outcome for them the longer the discussions go. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Aidan Bradley of Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of quick ones. Just on slide 27, the base rent from the two value-add assets. In terms of the repositioning there, what sort of impact in terms of dislocation should we expect as you sort of manage both of those processes now at Tweed and Manning? And then while I'm just on slide 30, you show the cap rate difference versus some of the bigger listed peers. What's sort of your monitoring of the individual asset transaction market? So what should people be thinking about in terms of what these assets are actually trading at in the real world?
I'm happy to take that one. Thanks. For both Tweed Mall and Manning Mall, when we reposition the discount department stores, there will be some income downtime. But in looking at the long term opportunity and in our view, in terms of maximising shareholder value, we look at the total return of the opportunity. And we see that there'd be a very significant improvement in value once we reposition both Tweed and Manning to neighbourhood shopping centres without the discount department store. and reclassify them to neighbourhood shopping centres. So in a total return sense, we believe that that's in the best interest of investors and security holders. In relation to the income assets, we agree with your view, Aidan, that the market is for this type of asset is strong. All of our supermarkets in these assets are performing well. And as we said earlier, we'll be looking to take advantage of the current market conditions at the appropriate time when, you know, when the assets are, when the assets value are optimised and it's in the best interest of security holders to do so.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Adam Wexler, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. My question is about looking for an acquisition. I noticed that the Elanor Group set up 2 unlisted funds for acquisitions in the last 12 months, the Queen Beyond Shopping Centre and Clifford Gardens. I'm just wondering whether any consideration was given that ERF should invest in either of those two. And then going forward, what's the decision-making process in terms of whether a good acquisition would be set up as an unlisted fund or whether ERF could participate?
Adam, it's Glenn Willis. I'll take that call. So, yes, ERF, if it was in the right position, specifically that means if the security price was such that it made it efficient to raise equity to invest in those assets, it would have done so. With the security price trading at a significant discount to the NTA and that brought a cost of capital issue, it would not be in the best interest of the fund to invest in assets and issue capital at this significant discount to NTA. So with funds now available, having sold Auburn Central and the Moranbah asset, that does provide the capacity to now invest in further value add retail assets without the need to issue equity. When the equity price reflects the NTA of the fund, in other words, the cost of capital of the fund is such that it makes it sensible to issue capital for security holders, it will then participate in those investments.
Okay, thanks, Glenn.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Ben Morrissey of Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Oh, g'day, guys. Look, one of the issues I've had with my clients as far as ERF is concerned is they don't know what it is. Is it a trust that's looking for undervalued assets, hoping that they'll pop in value, then selling them? Is it a property trust that's going to provide an ongoing dividend? You know, you spat out a nice 12-cent distribution, I should say, just recently. But I think there's a fundamental issue that the market doesn't actually know what this thing is.
Ben, it's Glenn Willis. I'm happy to answer that question again. The stated strategic objective of this fund is to acquire value-add retail real estate of the ilk of Tweed and Manning Mall assets. We stated the strategy for this fund a couple of years ago that it is a value-add real estate investment trust. As I said, the team, Michael and Matt and team, have got a very strong record of generating strong IRRs, and indeed, I would say they have a market-leading position in that space, and that's what we are seeking to achieve for the Elanor Retail Property Fund as well. So the assets, the investment in assets like Tweed Mall, and Manning Mall are the assets that this fund invests in. They are value-add retail real estate investments. Divesting the income assets where they don't have the value-add opportunities is on strategy, and that's what's been achieved with the sale of the Moranbah and Auburn Central asset. So this fund will continue to look to one, realise on the value-add asset in the fund that exists in the fund, namely the Tweed asset and the Manning Mall asset, and acquire other value-add retail assets, retail real estate assets, which is the key focus across the group.
So can investors expect a reliable ongoing distribution on that value-add strategy?
Expect, we believe, and this is a clear objective, strong total returns, which is obviously made up of the income across the fund, but probably even more so the value add capital gain that is achieved by Michael and Matt and team executing on the value add strategies for the investments in the fund.
So again, if the investor is looking for a reliable above average dividend, they wouldn't buy into ERF. Would that be correct?
What comparison you're looking at, or what we compare against? But certainly there'll be ongoing reliable income. But additionally, we'll be looking to provide strong capital gain as well.
Would you say it's fundamentally managed differently to the way ECF is managed because of this value-add strategy?
It is very definitely a value-add strategy. Comparing it to a fund like the Elanor Commercial Property Fund, which is investing in assets that have more of a core plus nature. They do have value add, but not as significant as the value add potential that the investments that the Elanor Retail Property Fund focus on.
All right, and I promise, last question. Given the sale of Moranbah now, does that mean, because you're shrinking yourself to greatness at the moment, does that mean there's another acquisition around the corner?
We're always looking at opportunities to invest in. Wouldn't want to be drawn on as to whether it's around the corner, but suffice to say that we are focused on the one, executing on the value add strategy for the fund, which means also to invest in other value add assets. But importantly, or as importantly, closing the gap between the fund's current value, stated value of $1.22, and its security price. So we'll be looking at capital management initiatives to close that gap.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Willis for closing remarks.
Thank you again for joining this call today. We appreciate your interest in the fund, and we certainly look forward to providing improved returns and continuing to execute on the strategies that Michael and team have successfully done so far. We are positive in regards to the outlook for the fund. And indeed, we continue to focus on that the prevailing, I guess, gap between the net asset value and the security price, and we're pursuing capital management options to close that gap. Thank you for attending today's call, and we wish you a good day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.